It's Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Let's head to the hotline as we welcome in the one and only John Telich to talk some Cleveland Browns football. And JT, ugly, I guess, could be the best way I could describe Sunday's performance for the Browns against the Jets, specifically within that last 2 minutes or so. I don't know if you have maybe a more colorful yet still appropriate for on-air purposes adjective, but that was bad.
There is no makeup artist in Hollywood alive that could have put that thing and made it look acceptable. Just whatever they did to it, it just did not go down well. And even, you know, 3 or 4 days later, still leaves a bad taste in your mouth. I just can't fathom how they let that thing get away. Crazy.
Well, the fans let them hear about it as they were exiting the field, which a couple of the Brownies had, you know, some thoughts on it. Again, the fans booing, and it was Myles Garrett and a couple of others kind of let their opinions be known on that. Not that they were angry or upset with the fans or anything. They were just saying, you know, hey, you know, we don't love that early on. We want you by us. We want everything to be positive, this, that, and the other. And I thought Jim Donovan, you know, voice of the Browns, absolute legend, had the perfect words for it in his rant. So just your thoughts, JT, on how that all kind of went down.
Yeah, I was disappointed in Myles for voicing what he did about the fans. He should expect that when he puts on that uniform and the fans, as Jimmy Donovan so aptly said, have that one-way relationship where they buy all the jerseys, buy the tickets, continue to invest in the product that is the Cleveland Browns. They were very upset, and they had every reason to be. And the bigger question is, why wasn't Myles Garrett upset at what happened around him? All he needed to say was, yeah, it was a little weird to hear that, but we had that coming to us because we had a 13-point lead with a minute 55 left in that game, and the other team had no timeouts. It wasn't about Nick Chubb. It was about the Browns' defense just not getting it done, and that's the second week in a row that defense showed cracks and miscommunications and made for much more stress in a fourth quarter than there should have been.
Well, let's talk about that, JT. Why is the defense kind of just collapsing late in these games like that? I saw a lot of Twitter heads talking about sitting too back in a soft zone, too soft of a zone, I should say, that prevent defense that people talk week in and week out about. You know, just kind of your thoughts, JT, on why this defense seems to go so vanilla and how that came to, you know, bite them in the butt on Sunday.
Well, the weirdest thing is, and a lot of people are putting pressure on Joe Woods, and he certainly has had better Sundays the last 2 weeks. I thought they got their decks in a row or their house in order at some points last season where they didn't have those gaps. Remember early last year, they had blown coverages against the Chargers, and that was costly. And then they seem to kind of correct those problems. But this year, in two games, there have been four blown coverages, and they were mammoth blown coverages that resulted in huge plays. But the real disconcerting part here is that they are not the same guys. You know, it's 1 week, it's Newsom and Delpit together. This past week, even though he denied it was his blame, if you will, Denzel Ward. Just a lot of different guys having problems with the communication in this scenario. Someone was saying because Jacob Phillips is in there at times, and then other times you've got Anthony Walker, that you know, there's not enough continuity as far as that position is concerned. I'm not so certain that that's the case. But this past week, they had the sixth most pressures in the NFL. There were some plays, obviously, that you saw, Rocco, where they felt that Myles and Jadavian and the two defensive tackles could get the job done, get some pressure. There were hurries. They did have Mr. Flacco having to kind of up the tempo. But what was really wild, and I still can't understand, is why all those guys had open season to get into their routes right from the snap and not have anybody jamming them or at least giving them some kind of a roadblock, a speed bump, no matter what you want to call it, when they head out into their routes. Because each guy, especially in that end-of-the-game scenario, had all the opportunity in the world to get to the top of their route tree, if you will, on that particular, on each particular play. And it just, it was like you need the common sense being that when you are up by 13, you've got to keep everything underneath. Remember how we used to make fun of Jabril Peppers for, you know, playing way out there in Eastlake or Willoughby or Metzer or wherever it seemed like he was playing? Well, nobody was thinking along those lines that it would be possible for somebody to get loose and go 66 yards in only the second play after you scored to go up by two scores. Just unfathomable, and I think the defense really this is gut check time against the Steelers. What kind of culture do the Cleveland Browns have? Have they talked a good game that, you know, they've got it together and they're going to be a winning organization? Or is this something that could make this team unravel? We're going to find out a lot of stuff come this evening when this football game takes place.
Well, you hit the nail on the head right there. A short turnaround to get a lot of things figured out. As again, they'll be taking on divisional rival Pittsburgh tonight with first place in early season first place, albeit, but still first place in the division on the line. JT, and again, John Telich, our guest this morning on Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. You mentioned the pass rush there against the Jets. They got the Flacco a number of times. I thought they were pretty good in that area of the field. That might be an area of concern, though, here tonight with Jadeveon Clowney ruled out, a couple of other injury concerns. How healthy is this Browns defense heading into this Week 3 matchup?
Well, Clowney definitely is out of the game. Winovich and Jesse James were put on the disabled list, so that's four games for them at the minimum. Miles dealing with a neck situation, which came to light on Tuesday, and so we'll see what happens with Miles's availability in this game tonight, and then Joel Bitonio has a bicep situation, so you got to get those guys and have those guys play. So if you are not you don't have Jadeveon Clowney, we know that for a fact. So will the youngster Alex Wright step up and, you know, have? I think he had a batted down pass the other day against Flacco, so there's a little bit of growth there. He had a bunch of snaps, I think, in the teens, the amount of snaps that he had. And then the youngster, Perrion Winfrey, who was in the doghouse last week, he should be able to play. So we'll see if he can help bolster the defensive line. But they're facing, obviously, a different quarterback in Mitchell. Mitchell is a bit more mobile than Joe Flacco, but certainly does not have the arm talent that Joe Flacco does. Joe might be 79 years of age, but his arm is very, very good. Mitch's arm is not one of the stronger, parts of his game. His mobility certainly can help him in spots. So I think they really have to do what Pittsburgh's defense does to other quarterbacks. They've got to blitz. They've got to make this kid uncomfortable. He's had a good game in that stadium when he was a Menor Cardinal.
That's right.
And so you don't want to have Mitchell be comfortable back there, and if we get to the situation where you're not seeing Miles because of the neck and it doesn't clear up enough for him to be able to play, then that would be a real big concern. They'd have to mix things up. They'd have to, they would have to have some of the linebackers or safeties or what have you dialing up blitzes every so often just to throw him off his game.
Before I get your final thoughts on that Steelers matchup tonight, just one last thing from last week against the Jets. Why is Nick Chubb apologizing, of all people, to the media? I understand, technically maybe he could have gone down. When you analyze the play, you know, it's really not realistic when he's making cut moves a yard away from the end zone. I mean, he's probably getting in no matter what. I just, again, that's who he is. We know that by now. But, man, it kind of bothers me a little bit that he's the one, of all people, kind of taking the blame and apologizing after last week. I just can't believe that.
It's just amazing that it got to that point. And it wasn't long after the game when the Chubb sidebar, if you will, or side story started to surface. And I just thought, if you can't protect a two-score lead, I know it's 13 points, not 14 when the missed extra, but if you cannot protect that with the other team having a minute 55 to go and no timeouts, and your offense being able to run the football the way that they showed, if you can't protect that, what business do you have? And all these crazy things had to happen for them to lose the game. That's why there were 2,229 games that went in a row in the National Football League. dating back to 2001, when, by the way, it was the Browns, were the last team to blow a game leading by 13 or more under 2 minutes to go in a game. And so I felt it was so weird that this guy apologized, the ultimate pro that Nick Chubb is, when you had defensive guys deflecting blame and you had a special teams unit that had two major gaffes that helped the opposition win the game. I just felt it was a bad look all around for him to have to apologize for being, by the way, the top-rated, according to Pro Football Focus, the top-rated guy at his position for what he did this past Sunday, wow. Nicholas Jamal Chubb, and yet he's apologizing. Unbelievable.
Yeah, how people look at that and say, oh, it's his fault, he should have gone down, that's beyond me. And I mean, it's Twitter, it's the internet, it's not real life sometimes, I totally get that, but wow, it's just mind-boggling to look at that stuff sometimes. All right, JT, well, looking at this matchup against the Pittsburgh Steelers, look, they are atrocious offensively. That much has been made clear through the first 2 weeks. They get the win in the opener against Cincinnati. The turnovers on defense kind of bail them out there, but no TJ Watt for a little while for them with that pectoral injury. So again, this field feels like the one that the Browns should be able to win here on Thursday night, but with the rivalry, I don't know. It's going to be a physical matchup. Your thoughts on the night, JT?
Yeah, I think it is going to be. But here you are. This is a divisional game. And if you feel that you have a team that can even think about playoffs and hold the fort until Watson gets onto the field, this is a game you have to win. You got to go 4-2 in your division in order to have any kind of thoughts about potential being able to play in the playoffs this season. So they have to win this game against the Steelers, not just for long range, but for to turn the tide, to circle the wagons, to get them back in a better frame of mind as they move forward. The Steelers, as you mentioned, without TJ Watt, gave up a lot of fourth quarter first downs against the Patriots last Sunday. All the teams in the division lost, as you're well aware. So this is a great opportunity, the Browns being at 1-1, to go to 2-1. I'm going to give it to them this week, Rocco. And again, Sunday I probably would have thought a lot differently, but I'll go Browns 24-21. And here's the weird part. After that touchdown that put the Browns up 30-17, I was on the verge of tweeting out, if they hold the score right here, I will be correct with a 31-17 prediction on this football team, on this football game. And as I was about to send out that tweet, Cade York missed the extra point. So I canceled putting out that tweet. And then obviously things just went south in a hurry. So much for my 31-17 prediction last week. But I'll go 24-21 Browns this week.
All right, JT says 24-21. Brownie's going to be a winner this weekend. And by the way, JT, I think it's worth noting, and I totally forgot to mention this before we dove into the Steelers stuff, Joe Hayden, Browns' longtime cornerback, coming back on a one-day contract, at least that's the plan, so that he can retire a Cleveland Brown. Of course, he had spent the last couple of seasons over there in Pittsburgh with the Steelers, but still pretty cool to see Mr. Hayden come back and retire as a Brown. I know in the Cleveland area, people still love him. He's always at the Cavs games and stuff like that, so pretty cool stuff there.
Yeah, I think it's great. And, Joe was one of those guys that showed how much he loved Cleveland. Also, Joe Thomas, the same kind of way. Mm-hmm. When it wasn't cool to be a Cleveland Browns fan, when Joe came to Cleveland back in, I believe, 07 or 2010, I believe, was his rookie year. They weren't the greatest teams. They were going through a coach every year. And Joe came into town and, as you said, went to Cavs games, of course, supported local charities, was a good guy around town. A lot to like about Joe Hayden, and I felt, that money purge is a reason why the previous regime before Andrew Berry and company were getting rid of guys that were making too much money. He was one of those individuals that had to move elsewhere, and he went to Pittsburgh, which I'm sure some fans never forgave him for. But all around a good guy, Joe Hayden, and a pretty good player. Had several Pro Bowl seasons and has had a decent, a good NFL career. So all power to him. I hope he remains a Cleveland advocate. And, a lot of people in this area still enjoy what Joe Hayden did for this town. and the Browns.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So a very cool thing to see Joe Hayden coming back to retire as a Brown again tonight. Browns and Steelers, 8:15. It should be a good one. First place in that AFC North will be on the line. JT, quickly, before I let you go, we are moving into week 6 of the high school football season. Hard to believe things are cruising along already. Our three matchups on WEOL tonight, we've got Midview at Avon Lake, Olmsted Falls at Elyria, and then Menor at Brunswick. It was a wild week 5 with some really good matchups. How about Maslin taking down St. Ed's? Quite the upset there. But a solid week 6 ahead of us.
Yeah, there really is going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, it's kind of crazy so far this year, Rocco, of the teams that went super deep into football last year, like Chardon, who were the champions, St. Edwards, the defending champs, both those guys before the midway or at the midway point of the season already have a loss. And even the Kirtland football team that went to the state title game, and then Hoban, who was in the state title game a year ago but did not win. Hoban knocked St. Ignatius around pretty good last week as well. So there's been some noteworthy things. This week, you know, Cleveland Heights has been really good. They're 5-0. They take on Strongsville, Painesville Riverside, who upset Chardon earlier in the year. They go to Mayfield. Those are going to be games to watch. And then Ted Ginn's 5-0 team that's highly rated in their division in the state, they have another Senate game, which they should obviously be a walkover for them, I would assume.
Yeah, I would assume the same as well. So, you know, an awesome week 6 of action ahead of us as well. Maybe not quite living up to week 5. That was a crazy week 5, but still an awesome week 6 again. Our three matchups on WEOL, Midview at Avon Lake on the radio in Stream 1, O Falls at Elyria on Stream 2, and then Menor at Brunswick, our Medina County matchup on Stream 3. Again, tonight, Browns and Steelers, 8:15, first place in the AFC North will be on the line. JT, thank you as always for joining me here this morning, my friend. All the best to you, and hope to catch up with you again next week.
All right, you guys enjoy the Browns. We'll see if they can get back to the winning side of things at 2-1 on the ledger for the year. You guys have a good week.